We hear a word like sabbatical and we think, well, gee, that would be nice to just walk away from everything. And yet that's not what a sabbatical has to be. And in fact, in this modern world, it's usually not what it can be. A sabbatical doesn't have to look like an extended long break based on the season that you're in. But maybe you could do a day or two. Maybe you could do a few hours, a couple days a week. We still need those rhythms of rest even in those busy seasons. And today I'm sharing my experience of what happened to me when I said yes to this challenge of taking a sabbatical and taking a break.
Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and certified neurocoach who loves helping Christian women learn how to renew their minds using brain science and biblical truth. If you struggle with anxiety, perfectionism, worry, feeling like you're never enough, you are in the right place. I've been there and I understand how frustrating it is to know God's truth but not feel it in your heart. I created the Christian Mindset Coach podcast to teach you practical brain and biblically based mindset tools to help you step out of overwhelm and step into the confidence, the joy, the peace, and the closer walk with God that comes from a renewed mind focused on God's life-giving promises. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. It's here. The Christian Mindset Makeover is now open. This is the popular 9-week course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts. And I want to teach you some of the practical things we share in this course with a free workshop. I just opened up a ton of new workshop times, so go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to get a behind the scenes look at the Christian Mindset Makeover course and even learn some of the practicals we talk about in the course from this free workshop. Go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind right now and sign up for the free workshop.
Hello and welcome back to today's episode of the Christian Mindset Coach with Alicia Michelle. This episode is a check-in episode to report back to you after my sabbatical. Several of you heard that I went on an 8-week sabbatical over the summer and recording this in 2022, so summer 2022. And I took some time off from the podcast. I traveled, I read, I took care of some personal projects around the house. And most of all, the goal for me was to try to slow down enough just to listen to God to see what was next for me in this season. How could I receive the replenishment that I was needing to receive in order to keep showing up well for you guys, showing up well for my family, showing up well for God, most of all. And so if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, then you know that rest and taking time off do not come naturally to me. In fact, most of my life, I made work and productivity and accomplishing things my entire identity. So it took a massive unexpected health crisis in 2017, where I nearly lost my life, for God to get my attention that things needed to change. And during that time, I spent 8 months on my back, having everything stripped away, and I had to completely rebuild every part of my life. Not just by, you know, tacking a few good habits on here and there, but by getting to the root of what had caused me to live in that state of overfunction. And that situation was the turning point for me to the ministry and work I do with women now online. That's when I began understanding the neuroscience behind why I was stuck. That's when I became certified as a neuro coach to help others use the specific brain-based tools that I've used and myself, and I've now learned how to use for others. That's when I got that training in order to begin to let God use me in a different way. And that was to get to the root of why women were stuck in patterns like perfectionism and overachieving and just overcompensating burnout. Why were so many Christian women who knew that they should rest, who knew that that God loved them, who knew all these truths, but were still stuck in these patterns that they couldn't break free from? And doing this kind of work with neurocoaching has really been able to help me help women get to what's underneath and understand the core thoughts behind it so that they can find freedom and move forward from there and not just tack on another habit. And so for me, this spring, I really felt like God was presenting me again with the question of, are you going to continue to listen to me about resting? And He was asking me to go to the next level, so to speak. I was having some of those, just a small amount, signs of burnout, a little bit of fatigue, lack of motivation, just a lack of inspiration, you know, things like that. If you've ever experienced burnout, you know that. And my business coach challenged me to take some dedicated time off to rejuvenate and to allow God to restore my soul. And when she shared that with me, I really thought, Yes, it really was a confirmation of what I'd kind of felt God whispering to me for a while. And so this, I knew if I was to do something like this, which would be the first time that I'd ever done any sort of extended rest. And again, when you've never had that kind of a rhythm in your life and you're rebuilding and you've had that past where it's built on achievement, any kind of rest can feel super overwhelming and can feel super scary. But I also knew enough about God to know that this was the next step for me in my recovery. And so I committed to it. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I recorded an episode on rest just to kind of get my perspective on this, if you're interested, episode 174, where I talked about this phenomenon, why so many of us talk about rest. We know we're supposed to rest, but we don't do it. What is that about? And how can we get past those mindsets? I really believe that there are specific things that are happening in our mind that we're doing to keep ourselves safe. And rest is somehow something that we have thought of as a risk to that safety. And so when I made that commitment to take that sabbatical, I wanted to share with you why rest has an issue for me and what I see in a lot of women. And so that's what that episode was about. But I also wanted to share the other side of it, which is what happened. What could happen? And of course, every time we are taking a rest and with each person, with each situation, it's going to be different. But I thought it would be interesting for me to share with you what this experiment for me was like, because I really thought of it as an experiment. And to be fair, it was an experiment that I did within the boundaries of real life. Taking a sabbatical for me in this season could not mean that I was able to go off by myself and live on an island, you know, as some people may be able to do. I have four kids. I have older children. I mean, three of them are teens and one is 10. So I don't have toddlers anymore, but I still am mom. I still am the one who takes them to their practices, still loves them and reads books to them, things like that. And I also have clients, one-on-one clients, Christian Mindset Makeover clients. And obviously I still have a husband who I want to encourage and love and be a partner with in life. So life didn't stop. And I think that's really important to say from the upfront is that I took a sabbatical for 8 weeks, but there still were rhythms and things in my life that continued. And I think that kind of reality makes it possible to do a sabbatical in this modern world. Sometimes we hear a word like that and we think, well, gee, that would be nice to just walk away from everything. And I know that if you have young kids, like I'm talking 5, 3, you know, toddlers, babies, things like that, that's really hard. It's really, really hard to do that kind of a break. And you probably couldn't do an 8 week thing, but maybe you could do a day or two. Maybe you could do a few hours, a couple days a week. So sabbatical doesn't have to look like 8 weeks like it was for me. Some people take longer. Some people take less. But I wanted just to share with you again, this is what happened to me when I said yes to God's challenge to take a sabbatical. Now, one of the truths that I discovered first was that I could stop working, quote unquote, and still be really busy, you know? And that was the crux of what I needed to get to in the sabbatical, is I needed to stop being busy. So I could say, well, I'm not going to record any podcast episodes, or I'm not going to move forward in some of these other projects that I'm working on. I'm going to rest from those. But it was very apparent to me right from the beginning that I could just fill up those times doing other things. And that was not the purpose of that God had for me in this time. The purpose was not to be filling one thing for another, but to be, to just exist in the space where some days I didn't know what I was going to do that day, where I just had open time, where I just sat there with a journal and listened and read the scriptures and wrote whatever was on my heart, or I just read a book for several hours and thought, okay, well, this seems like the next best thing. So it was really this moment by moment kind of trusting thing that I had to learn to step into that became something that I noticed the more that I did, the more that I craved. So it was really beautiful. Another thing I discovered was that taking time to rest, to slow down, and to replenish, it always brings fruit. Even if I don't see it in the moment, it's gonna bring fruit. And I saw that, I'm beginning to see some of the results of that now, coming back, how fresh ideas are coming, how, especially around the areas of creativity, and that really, it seems much more infused, as I guess is the only way I could describe it. And I'd heard that from other people, but being somebody who is highly creative, who has to be creative in the work that I do, who is creative just in the free time that I have. I love to watercolor. I love to cook. I love to do gardening and home decor, things like that. I found that my creativity became a lot easier to access. The flow was a lot easier to access. And the other thing that was really important that I discovered in terms of that flow aspect was that I had a lot, and I still do have a lot, that I'm trying to process emotionally and mentally. I tend to be a deep thinker, and God often speaks to me when I allow that room for open space to process what I'm thinking. As a mom of three teens and now this almost tween, it's a confusing stage. It's a difficult stage if you have ever walked on that part of your journey. There's a lot of letting go. There's a lot of confusion about, am I doing this right or am I not doing this right? Did I do that right? I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish I could have done that. And there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of, well, I did do this part right and I can see the fruit of that. But then there's also the reality that parenting and encouraging other people, no matter if it's your kids or a husband or a friend, or if you work in a coaching situation like I do, it's not a linear process. I can't guarantee that if I do this, then this is going to happen, the result. And so it was a reminder of that, and a lot of just loss and grief, kind of accepting where we are as a family. There certainly aren't horrible, tragic things happening, but there is a lot of independence and pulling away, and that's natural for my kids in these ages. And it's an interesting stage to walk through as I see my role as a mom being redefined, and I'm feeling God ask me, who do I want to show up as for them and for myself when they do all fully move out and have their own lives, and it is just my husband and I. What will that look like, that empty nest? I see that right around the corner. And so it's a lot of surrender, a lot of time with God, a lot of just telling him what was on my heart and not having an answer for it, which it can be really, really challenging, as you know. But that's the kind of place that is part of our journey in any season. And when we're busy, it's really easy to run from it. It's really easy to just stick something else in the schedule and not think about it. So there was a lot of that. And then there's some other truths here I wanted to share with you. There was about 10 things here. So I would say number three here, I had some projects that I'd put off forever that, you know, they're not that big of a deal. Things that obviously had been pushed to the side, but they are important, and they were important to me. And I was able to get those done. And it felt so great to get those done. One of them was one of our kids graduated from high school and another one graduated from junior high. And so for that, I really wanted to do that well. I wanted to make sure that we threw a party and had family over and things like that. But I wanted to really honor them in a way of showing all the pictures of them through all the stages and describing their life and stuff like that. We put pictures up around the house and put them then eventually into a scrapbook. And ironically enough, the whole picture thing has been something that has just been really difficult for me to process. Because again, as I'm letting go and thinking about all these things, sometimes these pictures or moments were really triggering for me. So it took some work for me in the last few months, even before the sabbatical, to just be like, this needs to happen. I need to go there and face it and work through whatever might come up around certain issues. And so God was so faithful to help me and to really, as we often find with fear, when we move through it, we see it really wasn't that big of a deal at all for us to do it. And that's what I discovered is as I was doing it, these projects were not nearly as big of a deal. And there really was great joy in doing them, not just in the joy of accomplishing them, but really in seeing, wow, this is, look at what has happened. Look at all the good that God has done. So that was great to be able to do those kinds of projects. Number four, God gave me just this need in general, a high need to be able to express myself creatively. And I rediscovered again this summer that it's like a flow for me. It's this ongoing cycle, and it's expressed in different ways in different seasons. As I shared, it's expressed a lot right now for me in drawing and in watercoloring. And if I don't make room to let that kind of a flow happen through me, whatever it is in the moment, like again, I said watercoloring is the thing that I tend to be doing the most in this season, I see my mindset overall just start to get kind of stagnant and unbalanced. And I tend to just feel kind of stuck and frustrated inside. And it seems so strange still to me. I don't quite understand the mystery behind art and expression like that. But when I am able and do make that time, whether it's for 10 minutes or if it's for an hour and a half or 2 hours on a weekend, I really do feel like there is something inside of me that's released and I'm able to access my truer self and the person that God's calling me to be in a much easier way.
Do you find it hard to let go of worry? Do you struggle with feeling like you're never enough? Or maybe you're frustrated because you can't make the changes you want in your life, losing the weight, starting new habits, or growing in a certain area. Both brain science and scripture show that every action we take starts first with a thought. If we change our thoughts, we can change our results. So, what are the most effective ways to change our thoughts? According to the latest neuroscience research and timeless biblical wisdom, well, I want to give you the inside scoop at this free workshop. Sign up now at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. You'll discover why it makes sense you're stuck in toxic thought patterns. You'll debunk 3 popular myths about overcoming negative thoughts. So many women are stuck in these. And you'll learn a simple 3-step strategy to manage negative thoughts in the moment. I mean, this powerful tool alone is worth coming to the workshop. Plus, you'll get an inside look at the Christian Mindset Makeover, the only course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts in only 9 weeks. Go now to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to sign up for this amazing free workshop to learn how to transform your thoughts to transform your life. That's vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you there.
So I was able to do that more. And I also had a project, speaking of projects, that I really wanted to do and that I am so close to finishing. It was when I took a trip, which I'm going to be describing in a minute. I took a really great trip with my sister and my sister-in-law down the coast. So I live in San Diego and my sister-in-law lives in Los Angeles and my sister lives in Phoenix. And so we don't get to see each other, the three of us, very often. And I really wanted to be able to have some sort of an adventure this summer. And I thought what an amazing experience it would be to be able to drive down the Pacific coast. It's something I'd always wanted to do. And while it wasn't possible for them to both spend the entire time, what if I could break that up into 2 different sections? So that's exactly what we did. My sister-in-law and I flew to Seattle and started in Seattle and drove down the coast and just stopped in all these amazing places, ended up in Portland, and then she went on to visit some other relatives, and my sister flew into Portland from Phoenix, and then she and I drove all the way down to San Jose together and stopped and saw lots of different things. It was so liberating. It was so much fun to spend time with these very special women to me, one-on-one. A lot of us, both of the ladies, both of my sisters are in similar seasons in terms of mothering and marriage, and they're different. They're so radically different, but they both were just medicine for my soul. So I had such a great time exploring with them, seeing new things, going to places that I'd never been to before, truly, and also having that balance of we had to be at a certain hotel every night. We'd booked all the hotels in advance, but there was that freedom of, well, let's stop here and stay here a little bit longer, or let's try this. Where could we go here? And so that exploration side of me was really quenched, I guess I should say, as I was going through that process. But all that's to say, the project. So the project that I wanted to do incorporated this idea of watercolors and the trip. And I had seen before examples of other people who had taken trips and they had created watercolor journals. And you can make it as fancy or not as fancy as you want, but basically it's a smaller rectangular journal. I think the whole journal is like maybe 6 inches high by 15 inches wide. And watercolor paper, obviously. But the point was, every day of the trip, I wanted to document something that we saw. And it doesn't have to be, or I didn't make it to be that I had to document everything I saw. And I also took the pressure off myself to make it museum quality, absolutely perfect, all that kind of stuff. The point is just to recognize and remember the memory. That's what the point is. So I have this journal that I ideally would have been able to create on the road as we were going. And I did do a little bit of it on the road. But I gave myself permission to be like, look, when we get back to the room at night, what if we just want to laugh and have fun and hang out? Or what if we want to go do something at night, go out somewhere? So I gave myself that room to not have to feel like I had to do it every night. And I'm so glad I did. I took a lot of pictures and I outlined in the journal where I wanted to put what I wanted to put on each page to remember from each day. And I am one picture away as I'm recording this from finishing the entire thing. And I could not be more thrilled with it. It really is such an amazing keepsake, I guess, of what happened and where we went. And every time I was sitting down to recreate these images, some of them, you know, a single page and some of them a double spread, which was really fun when we were doing things like images of the coast or more horizontal shots that you could really do like in this wide panoramic view. It still never fully captures exactly what was there, but it was a fun challenge for me to experiment with different types of watercolors, different colors and schemes in general. How could I represent water? How could I represent rock versus grass? Different things that I necessarily hadn't experimented with to that degree. And yeah, so that was really, really an exciting thing that I got to do. Now, I think I shared that a second ago that there was these moments that I had this summer that were spontaneous, where I just really was like, okay, let's go do this. And then we saw good examples of that on the trip. But there was also a lot of order that I instilled back into my life that brought comfort. So two things that I learned, which seemed kind of opposite, was that spontaneity breathes new life into my soul. I really am someone who needs to have spontaneous moments. I think of them as like little adventures that I go on. Even recently, about a week ago, I was just feeling like I needed to get out. I needed to see something new. I needed to just have an adventure. And so I wanted to have something that was a little bit comforting, but also a little bit outside of what I had known and seen already in my hometown of San Diego. And so I went to a familiar spot, which is Coronado for me. I am a huge Coronado fan. That is my happy place, which if you've never been to San Diego, Coronado is this little man-made island that, well, it's not all man-made, but it's a lot of it has been built up by the military because there's a military base on one side of the island. But it is right across the bay from downtown San Diego. You can take even a little ferry over if you want to have the full experience of going to the island, or you can take the bridge over. One of the most famous places on the island is the Hotel del Coronado, which they filmed several movies at. It's this very iconic looking building with beautiful, like cylindrical, cone-shaped roofs that are bright red, and it's right on the ocean. It's an old Victorian hotel. So it's made of wood. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place. But there's all these little places to explore and shop along and see. And then of course you can walk along the bay itself and see all of the downtown skyline. And then you can also go down to the ocean. So it's one of my favorite places to go. So I just decided I was going to go to Coronado. And yet I also, that was kind of like the structure of it. But I also left it open. I brought my paints and my watercolors because I thought, you know, maybe I may want to draw. I may run over to this other place in town that I like to draw at. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just stay here. And so I think that combination really works well for me. And that was confirmed again this summer, that feeling that little pinch in my spirit. And obviously, we can't negate responsibilities, you know, but when I was able, the next moment I was able to do something like that, several hours kind of a day, I knew that I needed to take advantage of that. And that was the kind of rest that my soul needed, is to be able to just walk around, explore, and have that kind of structure. And really listen to what God would have for me and where He would lead me, and just to be amazed at the things I would see, the people I would meet. That's the kind of stuff that filled me up. But I want to talk about the other aspect of it, which was that habits and routines. I really began this summer looking at what are the things in my life that I want to include that will get me to where I want to go. And so I began really looking at the habits that I had established, because I do have had several habits that have been very intentional for quite a while now. But what were they? Where were they at in the status? Were they pretty established, or were they needing to be reinforced a little bit? And are there other things that I could add in? And also, overall, the question was, what were they giving me that were so helpful, and why I needed to continue them? And really, I discovered that some habits are moving me towards bigger goals, like working out, walking every day. But then some habits are just meant to bring me comfort and a sense of stability. And that was an example of that is this new habit that I created this summer, which was to make my bed every day. And that sounds so crazy again. And I am not a massive neat freak. I have a tidy house, but I don't have a freakishly clean house. I'll say it like that. So for me, I was always like, I got too many things to do. Why do I need to make my bed? Blah, blah, blah. But what I discovered was that when I started making my bed, first of all, it took less than like 3 minutes to do it because I come up with a system where these pillows go here, these pillows go there. I pull this up, I put it on, it's done, you know? And secondly, I just feel so much more organized. My day feels so much more put together when I do something like that. And part of it is because I do work from home. And so I'm in and out of my bedroom several times a day. And I walk by there and it just feels like, okay, like this part of my life is organized and put together. And that makes me feel comforted. So little things like that. Something else that we did this summer I started doing was I began walking our dogs. So we got a new dog this summer. Yes, if you guys know me, I am a massive animal lover. We have three cats as well, which I love our cats, but I have grown up with dogs and always known dogs. And so my dogs are my babies. And when we've had two dogs for a while, a lab, a pure red lab, and also a lab mix, and they're about 3 years old, but I just been feeling that tug in my heart to have another dog. And so just been kind of touching base with my husband about it. And he's kind of like, I don't know, maybe not yet, but maybe, you know, and I won't go into the whole story, but we ended up finding, totally a God thing, another dog that was at an adoption event. Well, I just happened to be in the center at that time. And it was almost like a spotlight was on him as he was just standing outside. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the dog. And we brought him home. He's 11 months old. His name is Roscoe. He is, we think, some sort of like maybe a shepherd mix, maybe a Belgian Malinois, if you're familiar with that. He's got those shepherd ears, but he's very like fawn colored, very like a light tan. So he's not super marked the way a shepherd is, but he's got that shepherd build. Anyway, needless to say, when we have a brand new puppy in the house, a puppy specifically, 11 months old, with a lot of energy and a high energy breed like that, like it's really important to start walking. And I'd been feeling like I'd been wanting to walk our dogs more. We do walk in the morning and I wanted to take them with us, but I was like, I don't know. Like I just need to do some training. But this really kicked me in the bottom to say, it's time. Like, we need to be doing this every day. So I'm happy to report that I have been walking our dogs every morning. And our goal is eventually to be walking them with my husband and I, because we have been walking for several years now. We walk for about 45 minutes in the morning together. And we wanted to start bringing them with us. So that's the kind of habits that I'm like, ultimately, my goal is to have to be a dog owner that is making sure that I'm doing what I need to do for my animals, which is exercise, loving them in that way. And that's a goal that I've wanted. And I have been able to use habit building techniques to be able to make those things happen. And that's one of the things I worked on this summer. A great book for that, if you are wanting to build more habits in your life, one that I revisited this summer, is called Atomic Habits. And I'll link to that in the show notes. Fabulous book. I love the science behind it. It's very much like, if you want to build this habit, here's how you can stack habits together, which stacking habits for me has been huge. Having that habit of having the walk in the morning, and now stacking the habit of right after I get out of bed, I make my bed. That's how that habit got stacked. And taking the dogs with us as part of that habit got stacked. I also have the habit now of, after I go on our 45-minute walk, I come back and do like 10 minutes of strength training. 10 minutes is not going to make me into the next Iron Woman, but it's going to tone me up in areas that are important to me. And it fits into my schedule, because after that, I have to go take the kids to school. So these are the kind of things that a book like that really helps us make practical. And so highly recommend that book. All right. Two more things I wanted to share. First, even during a sabbatical, life's not perfect. Okay. I wanted just to make that clear. You know, I am not 150% refreshed coming back from this time. I still have things that are unsolved in my life. There is not a nirvana that I have reached And as silly as all of that sounds, if you struggle with perfectionism and things like that, you know there's that little lie that somehow just floats in our head that if this happens, then all my problems will go away. And that's just not the case. I do feel better. I do feel more rested. I do feel more energized to take on some new goals. But it reminded me again that perfection and living in a state of never-ending refreshment, which is what we think, sometimes we tell ourselves that lie that will happen in a time off or a rest or a vacation, that's only going to exist when we're in heaven. That perfect unity with every need being fulfilled, every answer, every question being answered, that's only going to be in heaven. So we can have these times, but we can't expect perfection in them. And the last thing was that I want to make sabbaticals a regular part of my routine. I want to find ways to streamline my life so that I can make rest and replenishment a high priority, because I see, again, how it has helped me show up well for God, for my family, for you guys, for my clients, for myself. And I don't know what that looks like in the future, but I'm going to stay close to God and listen to see what it could look like. And I encourage you to do the same thing. So before we close this time, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever taken a sabbatical? Have you ever had an extended time of rest? Have you ever thought about it? And if so, what could it look like? Like we said before, not every season we're able to fully step away from all of our responsibilities. And honestly, I didn't step away from my work. I still had a few podcast interviews I did. I still did some coaching. I still led the Christian Mindset Makeover. What would you do, though, if you could have that kind of time? And how could it change you and lead you toward the ultimate goals of whatever that looks like for you in this season, whatever you need? In the Christian Mindset Makeover, we talk about boundary building, boundary builders and boundaries breakers, boundary building activities. A lot of those are found in creating new rhythms for our life around nutrition, around exercise, around social boundaries, around creative boundaries, finding new ways to play. What are some of those things that you want to get to that maybe having a sabbatical might help you kickstart into that thing? Another resource, again, just closing around rest and around sabbaticals, which I may have mentioned in the other episode, is Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith's book, Sacred Rest. And she helps you see what type of rest you need, how you can cultivate it. This has been so helpful for me in the last few years to not just say, well, I'm tired and I need rest, but to say, do I need physical rest? Do I need intellectual rest, emotional rest, spiritual rest, sensory rest, creative rest, or social rest? And she defines them in those different categories. So what is the kind of rest that I need that really is what part of my tank is empty, so to speak? Friend, rest is important, as you can see, and the fruits of rest are truly something that we can't get through other means. So I hope that you're able to hear some of what I talked about today and think, yeah, I want to make that part of my life. And if you want to talk more about rest or how to do that, we can dialogue more about that on Instagram. I'm going to be putting some posts up this week, some reels around the topic of rest. And even one-on-one coaching, I would love to be able to help you through one-on-one coaching to help you figure out what have been some obstacles for you for rest and how can you get past them? How can you create some different ways to look at them? What are some thought patterns and some fears maybe that have been holding you back? I would love to work with you in that way if that's something you're interested in. So you can reach out to me at Alicia Michelle Coach on Instagram. All right, friend, see you back here next week for next week's episode. Take care and have a great week.
Thanks for joining me today. Please go to ChristianMindsetCoachPodcast.com and click on podcast in the menu to get the full show notes and more information on the resources that we talked about. And don't forget to subscribe and to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks so much in advance. I'll see you back here for the next episode.